The following is a recording from Bill Thorne with National Retail Federation on Wednesday, February 8, 2017, at 10 a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Bill Thorne. Sir, go ahead.
Thank you, Travis, and good morning, and thank you to everyone that's on the call today. In the room with me is our chief economist, Jack Kleinhans, and the president and CEO of the National Retail Federation, Matthew Shea. So why don't we just go right into it. Matthew, about the forecast, what can you tell us about expectations for growth in 2017?
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Bill, thank you. So we will talk about our forecast in just a minute, but before we do that, let's just take a quick look back at the past year, which, of course, lays the foundation for the coming year. And we ended the year 2016 sort of in that same familiar place of less than 2% economic growth overall for the economy. And we've seen that story before a couple of times in the past few years, and it's really due to the kind of the weak first half of the year, in which there was a lot of slow growth, but we rebounded in the summer, the third quarter, some momentum into the holiday season, which proved to be a very solid one, and I think that's just sort of consistent with, you know, what we've been seeing with this sort of choppy up and down kind of slow growth trajectory of the economy over the past couple of years. And yet, in spite of that, in 2016, you know, we did see increased employment over the last year. We saw the beginnings of wage growth, the overall unemployment rate reduced, and just a modest beginning of uptick to inflation. So some generally, you know, sort of positive signs. And last year that contributed to an overall increase, as we said last month, early January, of 3.75% growth in retail sales, 3.75% for 2016, pacing ahead of, not dramatically, but slightly ahead of the previous year, 2015, in which we recorded 3.4% growth. So building slowly, not at the pace any of us would like to see, of course, but trending in the right direction. So with all that as background, and as sort of the prelude, it's our view that the economy is on firmer ground as we head into 2017. And the consumers are in a better place, businesses are in a better place. We've seen the market reaction to developments and proposed developments largely coming out of Washington. And we think, based on all that we're going to continue to see momentum in this year and forward progress. And by now, in the last few minutes, you will have seen the press release that we just put out on the wire, that we're expecting our retail sales increase this year to increase at least in the range of last year, 3.7%, and potentially as high as something better than 4%, up to 4.2%. So we think that is very reflective of the current conditions in the economy, both at a macro level and at the consumer confidence level and consumer strength level. And those are really some of the factors that are playing into this year's proposed forecast and the continued trajectory we see on an upward basis. That overall, jobs are growing, and importantly, really for the first time, we're seeing income and wage growth, average hourly earnings, growing. And so we think those are all very positive. Nevertheless, we think that consumers, as we've discussed many times before over the past few years, consumers are changed. They're not the consumers that we saw, previous to the last recession. They need to be shown that things truly are better, and they need to have a high degree of confidence about the future. And so we believe that that while they're in a very good position to grow, and we think this 3.7 to 4.2% range is very, very achievable, we think that consumers will remain thoughtful, circumspect, even a bit hesitant to spend until they really have more certainty about the strength of the economy and forward progress, and that there's greater clarity on some of these issues, particularly, again, coming out of Washington, on taxes, on trade, on the other things that are most relevant to our economy that will really get us moving again. It's very clear to all of us that that the overall sentiment and the attitude of consumers and of businesses have been rising and on an upward swing since the election. That certainly speaks to the attitude of many in the business community and many consumers. I think the question is now whether that attitude gets married to the ability that businesses and consumers possess to actually make spending and investment decisions and the way in which that translates itself into real economic growth. And I think we're already seeing that the realities of governing and the practical considerations that have to be accepted when you recognize we live in a dynamic world and there are constantly changes that are going to cause the best laid plans and agendas to occasionally deviate from those courses, and there's going to be a little bit of zigzagging on the policy agenda before we end up where we would like to go, and that's going to contribute to consumer sentiment, to business investment, and to the way in which we move forward as this year unfolds. And obviously there are many, many unanswered questions, because right now we've talked conceptually about overall proposals at the policy level, but until we actually see the legislative language and we get laws passed and we get regulations unwound, we won't know for sure what all this means. And there are some big ones out there, of course, on some major policy issues on healthcare, on trade, on tax, and those are all going to factor very, very significantly into where we go in the coming year. There are dramatic potential upsides here if these things are handled the right way. And we have certainly talked about all of those issues over the past few years as areas in which there was great promise and opportunity to get the economy moving forward if the policy issues were addressed in the right way. So we remain very, very optimistic about the potential to really get our economy moving forward in a robust way for the first time in nearly a decade. And we want to work with the elected leaders here in Washington, both the new administration and the Congress, to make that happen. And we think that that when it does happen, the economy will be in a very good place, and that will be very good for consumers and for the business community and for retailers. With that, maybe I'll take a breath and we'll go on for a little more dialogue with Bill and Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to want to go back to there's one policy issue that's been talked about more than just about anything else of late, and that's the border adjustment tax. I want to dive into that a bit, but first, before we do that, I'd like to get some insights into the forecast from our chief economist, Jack Kleinhen. So, Jack, tell us what you're seeing.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Matt. Just as we've been talking, our expectations for the 2017 economy is based on a firmer turf, firmer ground. And we're already seeing, to some extent, that pattern playing out in recent data just in the last month or so. Last week we heard that payroll was up significantly, 227,000 jobs, 3 months average, 183,000. Those are good, strong numbers, certainly because more jobs, more income, and it becomes more spending. and that's an underpinning in the overall forecast. Other labor market developments have also been positive. Unemployment claims remain at historical lows. The labor participation rate moved up. All these indicators are suggesting to us that the consumer is in a much better place than even a year ago. Some other factors I'd like to point out that underlie the forecast is certainly, as Matt mentioned, that consumer confidence soared in December. It retraced itself just recently in terms of the most recent reading. Even though it's a modest decline, it's still a very strong indicator. In line with that, we've seen consumer credit has accelerated throughout 2016 in terms of revolving credit. That'd be credit cards. So credit card use was up. Our expectations that will continue largely because there is consumer confidence and that they have the income to certainly maintain balances or increase their balances. One of the other indicators that just came out yesterday certainly also bodes well for the economy in terms of the labor market. I should have mentioned this earlier that there were 5.2 million job openings in the economy, and in specifically in the retail sector, there were 661,000. So these are, you know, pretty strong indications that the labor market is in good shape and that the outcome should be very positive for the economy. And lastly, just let me mention sort of perhaps I would say the wealth effect that's in play. Certainly in the last few months, stock prices have been resilient. Housing sector is expected to continue to advance. The housing price, according to the Case-Shiller measurement, was up 5.5% year over year. This gives confidence to consumers and to households to be able to move forward on their ability and willingness to spend. Household mortgage debt has actually declined, relatively speaking. They've taken on and shifted more spending, more credit away from homes and towards auto, student loans, et cetera. So, you know, all in all, as I mentioned earlier, the fundamentals of the economy appear to be in good shape as we go into 2017. My overview and our expectations certainly are based on economic momentum and financial market moves, and we have not factored into our forecast any policy changes, and we'll be closely monitoring the data as the economy moves forward.
Thank you, Jack. Again, we'll talk a little bit about that policy. But, Travis, I want to make sure that we optimize our time for questions. So if you would let folks know how they can get in the queue.
Yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Thank you, Travis. Now, Matt, before we get to the questions, the border adjustment tax has been talked a lot about lately in the news, on the Hill. There's been obviously some confusion between what President Trump is going to do versus what the public leadership in Congress is proposing specifically. So give us a sense of where we stand and what we see happening with the border adjustment tax and the implications for the industry and for the consumer.
So Bill, I would, I guess, start by saying that there are a number of policy issues, and I alluded to those a minute ago, that the NRF and the retail industry have been promoting for many years as ways to get the economy moving forward. And a big area is regulatory reform. We saw a number of proposals last year, like the proposed overtime regulation. We've seen others that were really sort of draconian in their impact and potential impact for employers in this country and retailers in particular. So regulatory reform is obviously a big one. We've talked about trade before, healthcare and the imposition of additional costs and regulations and burdens on retailers and small businesses of healthcare. And we see, I think a robust discussion here about how that reform will take shape. And the other big issue that we talk about and have talked about for many years is the need for comprehensive, thoughtful, reasonable reform of our tax code. And we have been, aligned with congressional leaders in a very bipartisan way over many years, trying to get this accomplished, and we're very involved in the last effort that former Chairman Dave Camp of Michigan worked on, and I've been talking to Chairman Kevin Brady, the current Republican House Committee Chair of the Tax Writing Committee. So we believe that tax reform is absolutely essential, and that comprehensive and meaningful tax reform in this country could be one of the best ways in which to get the economy back on the right track and on a pro-growth sort of a trajectory as we go forward. Having said all that, we do have concerns about one element of the proposal, and these are concerns we shared, almost a year ago, all the way back to the early conversation on this thing, certainly last summer, and that is the so-called border adjustment tax, which would have the ultimate effect of raising prices for middle-class and working-class Americans for virtually everything that they purchase. So whether it's the automobile they drive or the gasoline they put into that car or the food and groceries they put on their table or the clothes on their back or the shoes on their feet, the electronics that they use, every single one of those items would experience a price increase because of the tax on imported goods that would be levied. As one of the elements that would attempt to pay for tax reform, and we just view that as a bridge too far, and one that's not in the best interest of consumers, of taxpayers, and of the economy as a whole, and are enormously concerned about it, and have expressed those concerns, and continue to do so, and will continue to do so, because again, we believe tax reform is fundamental and really could be a linchpin of economic growth in the country, and we need to achieve it, and there are ways to achieve it. We think this particular element is not the right way to achieve it, and there are various arguments that have been put forward in support of this, but this is basically the application of a national sales tax and the application of a border adjustment tax that is a hybrid of a number of other things in other countries, but this is not something that anyone else has ever done in this form. This is pinning a lot of hopes on the possibility that this will work, and we think it is an enormous and a risky bet to be making on the backs of consumers and taxpayers in this country that drive the economy forward, and that this is not the kind of bet we should be making at a time like this.
Thanks, Matt. Travis, do you have any questions?
Yes, sir. Our first question comes from Ann DeNascenzio with Associated Press.
Hello, Ann.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking the call. So you probably noticed Trump just tweeted something about Ivanka and called out Nordstrom. So in this kind of environment where the president is calling out companies, and now it seems to be retailers' turn, how do retailers operate in this kind of environment? And how worried are you?
So Ann, this is Matt. I think what we're all seeing is that we're living in a world with a different kind of a chief executive in the White House. It's someone that communicates directly and forcefully and has a strong opinion on issues. We're learning, all of us, how to work in that environment. And we've been encouraged. Our view has been all along that that the president is a businessman, the president is a retailer, and so as a result, we're optimistic. Certainly, we agree with the president, who several weeks ago said himself of the border adjustment tax, for example, that he thought it was confusing and complicated. So, you know, listen, I think what we see, based on many of the things that he has proposed in terms of the business community and the economy broadly, that his instincts are very good. He's very much in touch with the voters in this country, and so we're trying to find ways to be aligned and be supportive, because we think there's a lot of opportunity and some real potential to make progress on some of these issues where none has been made for many, many, many years, and this may provide the opportunity to make that progress that we need.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Christina Gustafson with CNBC.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit more about one of the comments you made earlier about how you are a little bit concerned that some of this political angst could potentially be hurting consumer demand. Are we already seeing that take hold?
Hey Christine, it's Matt Shea. I don't think I said angst was hurting consumer demand. I think what I said was that until consumers have greater clarity about the way in which some of these issues are going to be resolved, that they may continue to be somewhat hesitant in making major purchasing decisions, and that is entirely consistent with the way in which they behave pretty consistently for the last 7 or 8 years, that they've been very thoughtful, they've been deliberate. And so as we go into this year, there is potentially a great deal of opportunity here, and much of that will depend upon how some of these issues, like the tax issue and others, are ultimately resolved. So consumers have the ability, clearly, and their confidence level is high. So I think there's great potential for this all to come together very positively. That's why we're so interested in seeing these policy decisions get resolved in a way that will help the economy grow.
Matt, just recently the Consumer Confidence Index came out, actually backed off a little bit from December, which is really what I think maybe is the point of your question, is that the consumer indicated, of course, these are surveys and this is sort of the sentiment at the time, and there was less spending was being planned for home purchases and some other spending. So that, to me, is not a big concern. I think it's just a point in time. I think we'll have to see it play out, see if there's any trend. Remember, it was a fairly high level of a confidence index that was historic high. So we're probably going to be staying at that elevated level for some time. And that would be one way to think about what might be your question, is that there has been a little pullback on some consumers based on that survey.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sarah Nasir with Wall Street Journal.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you.
Great. You know, I'm wondering what you're hearing from your members and what you're advising your members to do in the current policy environment, which, as you said, you know, is changing fast. There's been a few examples, including the border adjustment tax, where Trump has said one thing, then his team has said something else, and he sort of declined to be very clear about what he thinks about it. And there's a few examples where policy seems to be changing quickly, and it's hard to understand what eventually will happen. So what are your members asking you about, and what are you advising them to do? Are you telling them to, you know, lay low? Are you telling them to plan? Have you been hosting any roundtables or things like that with your members to discuss and compare sort of best practices in this environment?
So this is Matt Shea. You may know we had our big annual convention in New York a few weeks ago. We had about 35,000 people there, many, many, many CEOs of companies and senior executives and leaders from among the retail industry. We spent an extraordinary amount of time discussing these issues with many of them, both in our board and in other leadership meetings. I would say the retail industry is highly engaged at the moment. on a number of policy issues, including the tax issue, but on many others as well. And listen, this is an environment in which, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. That is always true of Washington. You have to be engaged. Our members are highly engaged and very energized and are very optimistic about the opportunities here. And so that's why they are engaged, because they're optimistic about the potential for the first time in many years to see some of these policy issues addressed in a meaningful way that will create jobs and that will generate greater levels of economic activity, so we move out of the sort of anemic, 1.6, 1.8, 2% growth, and get back to what we believe are realistic and achievable levels of economic activity in this country. So I would say our members are very energized, they're very optimistic, and they are very engaged, and we think those are all enormously positive things.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Matt Leidner with Internet Retailer Magazine.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How concerned are you with the recent spate of high-profile bankruptcies with these retail chains, be it, you know, the Limited, American Apparel, and then Wet Seal?
So this is Matt. I guess what I would say is that we know we live in a really disruptive, volatile environment, and the business model has to evolve quickly to meet the needs of consumers, the consumer demand and preferences and change. And in that environment, it's clear that many companies are working as quickly as they can to transform themselves, but not all of them are going to be able to make that jump. This is obviously it's a highly competitive environment, and when there's that level of disruption and volatility, you're going to unfortunately see some of these businesses that won't be able to continue to be competitive, and you're going to see new opportunities emerge and new businesses get created and new jobs get created, and continuing evolution of the industry. So I mean, I guess what I would say is that the retail industry has always been evolving, from the days when 60% of this country lived in rural and farming communities 100 years ago, and there were general stores, to the great migration into the cities between the wars when we had department stores, to the great exurban movement in the 50s and 60s and shopping malls and strip malls. So what we're seeing now is continuing change and evolution to meet the needs of consumers and use the tools and the sort of technologies of the moment to make that happen. But it's happening at a pace and with a level of rapidity that we've just never experienced before. And, so I don't know if you want to say that's the application of Moore's Law to the retail industry, but things are happening very, very quickly, and that's why, making those investments and being thoughtful about the way in which you are connected with your consumers, really at a premium right now. It's a challenging environment. It's a highly competitive environment, and that's going to continue to create opportunities and challenges for all retailers and, by extension, for all businesses.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Moyne with WWD.
Hello, David.
Hi, how you doing? Just a question on the sales increase. Looks pretty good range there predicted. Which parts of retail or sectors within the retail industry really going to lift that up? Because some parts seem pretty soft. So I was wondering if you could maybe in a way break it down so we get a sense of what kinds of retailers might be contributing to really bringing up the numbers.
Well, this is Jack Kleinhens, and we'll see probably a continuation of what we saw in 2016. Certainly, some of the stronger categories we saw were home-related, home improvement-related. The housing sector continues to be a very positive outlook, and I think that will actually continue to benefit These categories, like furniture, home sale, home furnishings, certainly the appliance world, building materials, we see continued strength in sort of the discretionary goods like food and beverage. There is certainly going to be continued growth in the one category that we outlined already in the sort of the electronic shopping and non-store to continue our expectations. It'll be also a key ingredient. We've seen you know, bits and pieces actually in the holiday. We saw clothing picked up a bit. Still, you know, going to need further further traction. So in general, you know, a good outlook for most categories, but some pressure continues, especially because of pricing. I point out the electronics. I think that the goods are there. It's not because of weak demand, but weak pricing. And so consequently, that enters into the picture. An ongoing concern that I have is that while we've seen inflation and price increases on the service side of the economy, we really haven't seen that much on the good side, or in particular in retail. So that's one of the factors that need to be probably enunciated in the forecast.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Travis, I think that that about wraps things up, but I did want to just end by saying thank you again for joining us, and if you have any questions about the forecast or any other issue for that matter, you can contact the NRF Media Shop at press@nrf.com and or call 855-NRF-PRESS. Thank you all so much again for joining us, and we look forward to talking with you again soon. Stay tuned.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir. Thank you.